Good morning, everyone, and thank you for waiting. Welcome to BB Seguridad's third quarter 2016 earnings conference call. This event is being recorded, and all participants will be in a listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After this, there will be a question and answer session. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star 02 to reach the operator. The presentation is available in the presentation to the market section of BB Seguridad's website at www.bankdobrasilseguridad.com.br. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements that may be made during the conference calls regarding expectations, growth estimates, projections, and future strategies of BB Seguridad are based on management's current expectations. Projections of future events and financial trends that may affect the business of the group and do not guarantee future performance, since these projections involve risks and uncertainties that could extrapolate the control of management. For more information on the statements of the company, please check the MD&A. With this today are Mr. Werner Sofert, BB Seguridad CFO, and Mr. Rafael Sperendio, Head of Investor Relations. Please, Mr. Sperendio, you may now begin.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining our third quarter conference call. Beginning our presentation on page three, we have here the highlights of the quarter. The net income of 988 million, remaining flat year-over-year, still impacted by the changes in tax rates that we had in both the social contribution in the income tax rate as well as the tax expenses at the broker, which is still turning the quarters not directly comparable. If we were to exclude these changes in tax rates, the net income would have grown by 3.1% year-over-year. The next highlight that we have is our performance in the life, mortgage life, and rural, the SH1. Net income dropped by 4.8% year-over-year, impacted by higher loss ratio in both term life and in credit life. I'm going to cover even more deep details going forward. The main highlight this quarter for this business line was the launch of the new term life portfolio, which largely contributed to the growth of 26% year-over-year in premiums written in term life insurance when we look in this quarter on a year-over-year basis. The next segment in P&C, our SH2, net income fell 55% due to a weaker net investment income and a higher loss ratio, mainly in car insurance. In pension plans, this was our main highlight so far in the quarter. Contributions grew 30% year-over-year. The redemption rates dropped by 140 basis points. When we look at both these factors, the outcome was a growth of 28% in net inflows, which is equivalent to 46% of the total net inflows in the Brazilian pension plans industry. The total AUM reached 183 billion reais with an increase of 32% over the last 12 months. For premium bonds, the net income grew by 48%. It's still favored by the higher spread this year. In this segment specifically, I would like to highlight that we launched a new portfolio for medium to high income clients in Banco do Brasil, the so-called Estilo segment. We developed this new portfolio. It still don't have a big impact in the quarter as we had the bank strike over September, but we do believe that's going to be very helpful over the fourth quarter to help us to see a kind of rebound in the growth rate for the top line in this company. And finally, at the broker, brokerage revenues amounted to 672 million reais this quarter, a growth of nearly 9% year over year as a result of the strong performance in the term life and in pension plans, as I've mentioned previously. Moving to page 4, we have a brief summary of our P&L in the quarter. Then net income remained flat on a recurring basis, with a non-interest operating result dropping by 3% as a result of the higher loss ratio of the life and credit life segments, as well as in auto and at the reinsurance company IRB, which was affected by the higher frequency of claims this year in crop insurance, explained mainly by the El Niño effect, which was the strongest one over the last 10 years. And financial results grew nearly 8% year over year, which I'm going to cover on next page. Page 5, financial results this quarter was positively impacted by a slightly higher average Selic rate and by the downward shift movement of the forward yield curve. The yellow lines here, as you can see in the both the charts on the top of the slide. On the other hand, the lower inflation indexes, as you may see on the bottom left-hand side, was negatively impacted the accrual of inflation-protected securities classified as a held-to-maturity, mainly the pension plans company and premium bond. So what you can see is that we have two factors helping the growth in the financial result, while the drop in inflation is pulling it in the third quarter as compared to the same period last year. And the final outcome was the growth of 7% in the financial results year over year, accounting for nearly 29% of the net income from BB Seguridade. On page 6, we have here the performance in premiums in life, mortgage life, in rural, our SH1. In term life, we have the main highlight, as I mentioned in the beginning in the presentation. Premiums written for term life grew 26% year over year. It was helped by the new portfolio with improved coverage. And just to give you some more color on its performance, the new portfolio accounted for nearly 19% of the sales in the quarter. So year-to-date, the growth rate in this line accelerated from 10% as we had in year-to-date June to 16% year-to-date September. In credit life, premiums dropped by 50% year-over-year, 48% year-to-date, still impacted by the challenging environment for credit this year in the country. And in rural, look at the premiums dropped by 33% year-over-year, but this was already expected, noting that this year there was a higher concentration of crop insurance in the first semester due to the early release of working capital loans for farmers, while in 2015 the loan granting period was concentrated in the third quarter, as well as insurance premiums. So when we look at to the year-to-date figures for rural premiums grew by 18%, what we consider much more reasonable growth rate for this year. On page 7, we can see the operating performance of these business segments. So in this quarter, the combined ratio worsened by 5 percentage points as a result of the increased loss ratio, meaning in the term life and credit life, and this was a result of higher frequency of claims, and in this number of claims, we had some claims with a high coverage insurance policies, as well as what we call here some claims related to some accidental death. In these cases, we have a special indemnities that impacted the claims expenses over the quarter. That's why it increased by nearly 600 bps year over year. But on the other hand, when we look at the commission ratio, we made it stable with a G&A showing an improvement, but wasn't enough to offset totally the increase in losses. That's why the combined ratio worsened in the third quarter year-over-year. This is explained on page 8. When we look at the underwriting result, it dropped by 6% year-over-year, partially offset by the increase of 3% in the net investment income, but the net income of this business segment is still dropping 5% year-over-year. That in addition to the impact in the loss ratio, we had the increase in the social contribution. This explains the 5% drop in the net income for the business segment, but it's still a very strong return on equity, 48%. On page 9, we have the dynamics of sales for P&C. So auto insurance premiums dropped by 26% year-over-year. This was a result of the still tough environment that we have, and with a reduction of 20% in sales of brand new cars affecting the addressable fleet. So this was the main impact that we have in the competitive environment for auto insurance in Brazil, in addition to the fact that when we look at the bank insurance channel, last year we sold many multi-annual insurance policies, so this is natural that over 2016 we do not need to renew, as they were at least two-year insurance policies. So this is affecting the performance of the bank insurance channel, in addition to the drop in the sales of brand new cars. On next page, in the operating performance, as compared to the third quarter of 2015, the combined ratio worsened by 200 bps this quarter. This was also a result of higher loss ratio, mainly in the auto insurance segment, due to a higher frequency of robbery and theft, and which was partially offset by the marginal reduction in the commission ratio and by the improvement in the G&A ratio year over year. On next page, we can observe that due to the increase in the loss ratio and consequently in the combined ratio, the underwriting result was negative in 41 million reais in the quarter. In addition to the drop of 33% in the net investment income, resulted in a drop of 55% in the net income for the company year over year. On page 12, moving to pension plans now, this segment has been showing such an amazing performance this year. So when we analyze the third quarter of 2016 as compared to the same period last year, contributions grew by 30% year over year to 10 billion reais. Redemption rate was down 140 bps, achieving 7.8% of the assets under management on an annualized basis in this quarter. And the outcome was a net inflow of 6 billion reais, which is 28% up year over year. And when we look at the assets under management, the total AUM reached 183 billion reais, 32% higher in 12 months. So the final outcome of these dynamics of inflows was the increase of 25% in the management fee, with the average fee charged following the downward path already expected of 1 to 2 bps drop per quarter due to a sales mix more concentrated in high net worth individuals, along with the decreased share of traditional plans in the mix of the assets under management. So when we look at this performance in management fees, in addition to the very strict cost control policy and the very positive the cost-to-income ratio for this business, the net income grew by 25% and delivered a return on equity of 43% for the third quarter. In premium bonds on next page, collections dropped 1% year-over-year. And here's, I said before, we launched a new portfolio of products in August, but the effect did not show up in quarter due to the banking strike, which began in September. But we do believe that we're going to have a very good performance in the fourth quarter to improve this minus 16% rate year-to-date. Already improved when we look at the June year-to-date was nearly minus 20, improved to minus 15, but we expect that it can do even better in the fourth quarter. The net investment income maintained the excellent performance we have been seeing throughout this year, with an increase of 142% and a spread of twice as higher as the one that we had in the same period of 2015. So, this strong performance in financial results led to the 48% growth in net income year-over-year, even in an environment with a higher income tax rate. And here on page 14, we have our brokerage business. So commissions grew by 9% year-over-year this quarter, driven mainly by the strong performance that I mentioned in term life and in pension plans, with a contraction in net margin, basically due to the rise in PIS and COFINS tax rates, which led to the increase of 5% in the net income year-over-year this quarter. And finally, on page 15, we have our guidance for net income growth in 2016. It ranges from 4 to 8%. Year-to-date, we reached an increase of 3.4%, slightly below the guidance. And here, the main reasons for the deviation are the higher-than-expected claims in credit life, rural, and in auto insurance, as I've covered in the presentation. And it's worth remembering that for rural, the higher claims impacted both SH1 and the reinsurance company, IRB. And the second reason for the deviation, considering the revised guidance for the year, was the weaker-than-expected sales in this quarter, which was the outcome of the bank strike, which began earlier this year as compared to 2015. So this year it was concentrated in September, while last year it was more concentrated in October. Anyway, we believe that the guidance is still feasible, so we expect that the net income growth will converge to the guidance throughout the fourth quarter. It's not an easy task, but we believe that it's feasible. And when we look at the fourth quarter, it's worth mentioning that it's going to be the first time this year that we will have the same comparable basis for the social contribution in the insurance companies. So this is going to be very helpful to increase the growth rate in the net income over this quarter, although it's still not fair comparable basis for PIS and COFINS tax rate at the broker, but it helps a lot. So thank you. Now, Werner and I are available to answer any questions that you may have.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star 9 on your touch-tone phone now. To withdraw the question, please press star 9 again. Please hold on while we recollect the questions. Our first question comes from Marcelo Sintra with Goldman Sachs.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thank you for the call. Actually, I have two questions. The first one is regarding the loss ratio in life segment specifically. This quarter, we saw a significant increase quarter-over-quarter and also year-over-year, while you also had this new product, which, as you mentioned, represented 19% of your total sales. So my question here is, if this new product, it's maybe a higher loss ratio product, and if we should expect loss ratio to remain at a high levels going forward, or if this was a specific for this was related to a specific reason for this quarter, and we should have the claims dropping to more normalized levels? And then I will follow up with a second question. Thank you.
Hi, Marcelo. This is Rafael. Thank you for the question. So regarding the increase in the loss ratio in the life segment, it's not related to the new portfolio. What we had in the third quarter this year was an increase in the frequency of claims, and all of these claims reported in the quarter, we had a high participation of claims related to accidental death. When we have such a type of claims, in these cases, normally the indemnity can reach up to twice the regular indemnity that the client could have in case he dies for any kind of any other reason. So this was the impacts that we had in the third quarter this year. And we do believe that it was a one-off in both lines, in term life and in credit life. We believe that in the fourth quarter, we are going to see a downward trend in this ratio that we believe that this is not the normalized level that we expect for this portfolio.
Okay, thank you for the clarification. And my second question is, it's actually a follow-up on your comments on the auto insurance. You mentioned that it dropped the premiums because last year you were selling like the annual insurance product. But when we look at the auto fleet, it's also dropping consistently over, I don't know, over the past maybe 4 or 5 quarters. So I just like to better understand if what should we expect for in terms of this trend going forward, if the auto footage should remain under pressure, if this is regarding maybe a more competitive landscape, or if it's related to a more challenging industry and it's something that we should only see a rebound next year. Thanks.
Regarding the performance in the auto insurance, it's worth mentioning that when in the presentation I talked about the case of the sales of the multi-annual insurance, it was an additional effect in the bank insurance channel. But the main one was the effect that I mentioned earlier about the drop of nearly 19% to 20%. In the sales of a brand new car. So this is affecting the addressable market for auto insurance in Brazil. And when we look in terms of the loss ratio, this hasn't been so healthy in terms of the performance of this business line. And as it is not a core business for BB Seguridade, we are still working with the product, but we are more selective in terms of the risk. We are working in trying to be more severe in terms of accepting such types, some types of cars, motorcycles. And so besides being very strict on the types of vehicles that we have been accepting, we are also working very hard in terms of selecting the types of risk, and when we look in terms of the client profile that we want to accept in the insurance company. So this is the effort that we have been doing. We are less concerned with the top line growth. We are more concerned now with the combined ratio of this business. So this is the focus now. No, and we don't believe, unless we see a big recovery in the economic activity and decreasing level of robbery and theft and increasing sales of brand new cars, it's hard to believe that we are going to see any major rebound in sales in this business line. But we expect at least a stabilization in the loss ratio for this business going forward.
That's perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Thiago Batista with Itaú BBA.
Thanks for the opportunity, Werner and Rafael. I have two questions. The first one is a follow-up on an answer you gave in the Portuguese call about the impact of lower Selic rate in the Seguridade earnings. Could you share with us again your back-of-envelope calculation of the impact of on the Seguridade earnings of a lower Selic rate? And the second one is about the pension business. Baby Seguridade has been able to maintain a market share of almost 40% of the inflows or the contributions in the last 2 or 3 years. And this 40% is really well above Banco do Brasil market share in most of the segments. Do you believe Brasilprev or Baby Seguridade will be able to maintain this level of market share in the coming years?
Thiago, this is Rafael. Thank you for the question. So regarding the first one, when you look at the impact of the drop in the Selic rate, it's worth to, again, say a kind of disclaimer that it's hard to find the real impact going forward because there are lots of moving parts here. We have the change in volumes, the change in the forward yield curve, the change in the inflation, and some of them, they have a kind of correlation between each other. But what we have, when we even disclose it on table 10, and this is my back of the envelope calculation, if we sum all the floating, right, this is, if you look at table 10, this is already weighed by our participation in each, our economic stake in each affiliate company and the controlled companies here. But in here, in this table, you can see if you add all the floating portion of the portfolio that has an impact in the P&L, so excluding the available for sale portion, we are going to reach a total balance of nearly 5.8 billion reais. That is our exposure to the floating rates. So if we take this balance and apply 100 bps cut in the interest rate, the net impact should be around 32 million reais. This is the calculation that we have made here just to give you some more color on this impact. Regarding the pension performance, Werner will give you the answer.
Thiago, regarding this pension business growth going forward for 2017 on, we still see room to increase the penetration inside Banco do Brasil client base. It's important to mention that till now, a good part of the effort is linked to the high net profit clients from Banco do Brasil. So we still have room to increase in the estilo client base, so the second tier of Banco do Brasil client base where the penetration is still very low and where we have clients with profile to have this kind of products. So we still have room to increase and to sustain the same level of contributions, new contributions, and adding new clients to this pension plan products. And of course, we will remain trying to have new investments from our current client base. So this will help us to continue to have a strong increase in reserves and contributions and pension plans for the next years.
Okay. Just one very small follow-up. The 32 million reais is annual and on obesidade and net of taxes, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, thank you, Rafael. Thank you, Werner.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Domingo Salavinha with JP Morgan.
Hi, thank you all also for taking the question. I know you're not officially providing a guidance for growth in SH1, but what's your mind around the decelerating loan growth of the parent company? And how that should impact credit life? Are we seeing a bottom in this year? Should we expect some growth? And also term life.
Uh, Hi, Domingos. This is Rafael. So, of course, it's hard. We do not have a formal guidance for 2017, but when we look at the performance in credit life, first of all, you can see that the 50% drop this year has been impacted by, first of all, the comparable basis. So when we look at 2015, the scenario was completely different, and we were increasing the addressable market for the credit life insurance within stage one. When we look at 2016, we do not have much room to launch new products. We're still working with the same basis, and due to, as you have mentioned, due to the challenging environment for loan growth over this year, it has been very difficult to keep the same pace that we were reaching until 2015. But from now on, in 2017, we will have at least the same comparable basis, so it will be much, I would say, quite easier to deliver a better performance as compared to the previous year than we had in 2016. But to see a real rebound in this line, we need to wait until the economic activity improves and we see the increasing upside for growth in credit, mainly in our parent company. But we need to wait until they finalize their budget for next year. But from our point of view, when we look in our performance, we will be helped by at least a similar comparable basis. That's why we believe that 2017 should be a better year for credit life than it was in 2016.
Okay, so it's fair to assume like something on the positive territory at least, not like shrinkage.
It is possible, but a marginal increase. It's hard to believe that it's going to be very material, but a much better performance than this year. But 2018, then we expect that should be a much better year. Then we believe that we will see a rebound to the normalized levels that we were used to deliver in the past years.
Perfect. And what about term, the regular standard life, term life? Do you have any forecast on that, on growth or flat?
Yeah, we cannot see, as we don't have a formal guidance for next year, I cannot give you a number. But anyway, when we consider the performance of the new portfolio in this third quarter, and the acceptance of the product when we look at the client point of view, we estimate that we will have a very good year for this line in 2017. And you can expect that life and pension will remain as the main focus for BB Seguridade in 2017. This is our forecast for next year.
Understood. Thank you very much, Rafael.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Enrique Navarro with Santander Bank.
Hi, everyone. I would like to know if there is any room for expanding commission fees that are paid to BB Corretora. I would like to know if there is any recent change in the level of commissions recently, and if you could also remember us how this works. I mean, I understand that this is regulated by the contract you have with Banco do Brasil, but in the case you want to increase commissions, which should be a problem for BB Seguridade, if the contracts regulated increases in commissions as well, or they only prevent a decrease in commissions. Thank you.
Thank you, Navarro. Well, these commissions, they are in agreements that we, the insurance companies, they have with the broker. So commissions are paid to BB Corretora, not to Banco do Brasil. So when we have a new portfolio being added or a new product being added, this, of course, we will have discussions around the level of commission that we will have in that product. And most of the time, because we are talking, we are dealing with a premium channel, we are able to have a premium a premium commission there. And the new products that we are launching in the, all these companies, they have premiums commissions at the same level. I would say that we will see in company in bank assurance channels across the industry. So if you look other players, our peers that they have operations in bank assurance channels, they also receive these higher commissions because of the level and the quality of this client base. So the margins that these companies, these insurance companies, they have with clients that come from this client base are higher, and we are able to charge better commissions. So these new products that we have, we discuss with our partners in this in insurance companies, but most of the time we are able to increase the commissions to a better level, and doing this, well, of course, it increases the profitability of this this portfolio in our in the BB Seguridade point of view, because we have 100% of the of the BB Corretora, and at the same time we have an effort to reduce the costs of the reimbursement for Banco do Brasil. So we reimburse costs related to the sales of the new products. But with the new technology being added, we are able to reduce the time consumed inside each of these branches to sell our products. And we have some benefits from this higher level of efficiency inside Banco do Brasil branches. So lower costs inside the operation with higher commissions provides a scenario where the broker will remain very profitable in the future, even with higher taxes being paid by this business.
Okay, very clear. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you'd like to pose a question, please press star 9. This concludes today's question and answer session. I'd like to invite Mr. Rafael Sperangio to proceed with his closing statements. Please, Mr. Sperangio, go ahead.
I'd like to thank you all for participating in our third quarter conference call and to reinforce the solid performance that the company has been able to deliver despite the challenging environment and to reaffirm our commitment with the 2016 guidance and with building the P&L for 2017, given the focus that we have been implementing on the most profitable business lines. So thank you all, and have a good day.
With this, we conclude BB Seguridad's conference call for today. As a reminder, the material used in this conference call is available on BB Seguridad's investor relations website. Thank you very much for your participation and have a nice day. You may now disconnect.